I suck at jujitsu? How do I suck less?
I guess
you
suck less.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the high-level leader of the Nuts Flores.
Hey everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to the newest episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. So we're just going to kind of dig into today's episode. I like the title of it. I hope it's self-explanatory. It's a little bit of a contradiction, but I just want to focus today on where you, the listener, fits into the idea of teamwork in Jiu-Jitsu. A lot of times we think about the team as the thing that makes us good at jiu-jitsu, and that is true. But I do think if your goal is to get really good, you need to have more than just you. And so what I mean by that is, like, if you think about, I really loved this episode of BJJ Mental Models with Christian Graugart, who started, what did he start? BJJ Globetrotters. He started a bunch of other things. He's just talking about creativity. And something he talked about is, like, getting as many minds together as possible. And his reasoning behind it was, you know, I have one lifetime and I get to dedicate 70 years to creativity. And he says, and if I just had one more brain working with me, I would have two lifetimes that are dedicating 70 years to learning. And it really made a lot of sense to me, because this is something we've applied in our gym for a very long time, is if people are doing things that work, we don't go, oh, no, don't do that. You know, that's not jiu-jitsu. We don't like that, right? If they're legal and they work, we always are like, well, why do they work? Maybe that's something we should add. Maybe we could get better at it. And when we start to look at jiu-jitsu that way, it takes all the jiu-jitsu learning from just being like, okay, we all learn from Josh here, and we have, you know, almost 300 members between both gyms. Like, we're going to all learn from Josh. Like, that doesn't make sense. There are, you know, we have 8 black belts on the team, 10 black belts, I think, a total that train with us. Why not learn some from those guys? Those guys all have specialties. They all have things that they're really good at. And anytime it starts to, it just stops being the group working together towards some type of common goal, it kind of screws up the jiu-jitsu school. And that's why, for me, my common goal is always at my gym, get good at jiu-jitsu, right? A lot of us like to compete, but we go out and compete with the goal of it making us better at jiu-jitsu. That's always the goal. And so as we kind of dig in, I just kind of have 3 big ideas that we'll look at on where you can fit into teamwork, where you can kind of, I don't know, just have the right things happen at your school and maybe do it on purpose. And so a good place to start with the idea of teamwork and the importance of it and how to just start doing it right now is collaborative training. We talk about this constantly on the podcast. When our mindset shifts from I am trying to win today against my training partner, and it shifts to my training partner and I are both trying to get better today, get better at jiu-jitsu today. Because if we both get better at jiu-jitsu today, everybody else that wasn't focused on getting good, they were only focused on winning, we got a step closer to them, you know, or a step ahead of them now. And when you look at jiu-jitsu as I am trying to get good each night, it doesn't really matter if I win or lose. Those are the guys that get really good. Those are the guys, it's crazy, and this is what's hard to understand, is those are the guys that always end up winning in the gym. Right? Eventually, the guys that are willing to kind of go a little outside of their comfort zone because they see deficiency and they go, I've got to get good at that, right? It's so weird when people get good at something. It's like you get really good at smashed half guard Americana, and then you're like, you are so afraid to be anywhere that isn't smashed half guard Americana. Once you're there, you're a black belt at it, and you kill everybody, and you're like, well, this is enough. The problem is, if you can get good at smashed half guard Americana, you could probably get that good at something else that's closely related. You could get that good at a pass right off that position. But if you don't open your mind a little bit and say, hey, I am willing to lose my round tonight when I know I could finish my Americana because I need practice doing this guard pass, right? I need to get better at this guard pass because my goal is getting better. And when you take that mentality and you apply it to your teammates, then it's our goal. Our goal is to get better. And that's like a simple thought on like collaborative training is not just rolling live. Even taking it one step back to a positional spar where it's just a game that's repetitive and nobody really is getting a submission maybe, but it's just guard pass sweep and you're just repeating same guy on top, same guy on bottom, or you're switching top to bottom. You're sparring a very specific guard, a very specific set of grips. Maybe, ideally, that you both struggle with. And so you're both getting reps on both sides. You're kind of learning how the guard works when you're on bottom, and then you're learning how to pass it when you're on top, and you're learning how to pass it with somebody else that struggles with it. And so the excitement and the learning together there is going to keep you both motivated, right? And then when you learn that together, the next step is going like, hey, we got to go try to do this on freaking Dave over there who always is playing Spider Guard. You know, we've been positional sparring Spider Guard for 3 weeks and avoiding Dave. Let's let him get us in Spider Guard and see how it works. And maybe it works. And you guys like can high five and go to a new position. But maybe it doesn't. And you're like, oh, Dave just responded this way. Well, you have a new thing to fix. You have a new thing to adjust to. And this can go deeper and deeper. When I really look at it, when I look at it at my gym, I see that like guys, whether we call it designated winner, whether we call it whatever, they will drill to help the other guy, right? And you just do that over and over. And the reason you do it is like, one, because it's helping him. But if you ever pay attention to like the places that do this well, it's conversational. And so even though you're drilling on me, a lot of times we're still talking about it a little bit, like, oh, that felt a little bit better. And then every once in a while, we notice something that's important while you're hitting these reps of this in this position. And we go, oh, maybe that's something. And maybe we dissect it a little more. But the more that we can combine our minds on that when it's something that we don't know, we don't understand deeply, the better it's going to be for us. And I think the easiest way to start doing that is with simple training method. You know, have a goal of, we both suck at this. We're both always stuck here. Let's try to fix it together. Just somebody on your level. You don't know, no one needs to be teaching. It's just being able to get good without the coach giving you step-by-step guidance is not only important because most places can't always give you step-by-step guidance, but also it's not always helpful to just get the answer. In jiu-jitsu, it's more important to learn the skill of getting good. If you take a good black belt and you put them anywhere in the world, they will continue to get better if they understand training. If they understand how to get better, they will continue to create new training partners to work with and, you know, positional spar things, right? And get them good at little segments of jiu-jitsu, and they will continue to get better if, you know, they're dedicated to it. And so, but that always happens best and always happens easiest when you develop the skill of progression, right? I have had really good guys that I've trained with that literally didn't know how to get themselves better. They always had a great coach that would just say every night, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing. And I would ask these guys, it's like brown and black belts, like, hey, can you show me this guard pass? And then they would like start to try to explain it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't even know what you do, do you? You just can do. You've had a coach, you've had an instructor that's let you get in these situations enough times that you know how to react and accomplish the goal, right? And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but that guy, if you send him into the middle of nowhere, he won't get better at jiu-jitsu. He doesn't know how. He only knows how to do what the coach tells him. Or a lot of people, they only know how to train live with really good guys. And that's like the only way they know how to get good at jiu-jitsu. And yes, that's so important. It's so helpful to be able to go with really tough guys. But it's just not always available. I think back, I did an episode recently on like my 16 years of jiu-jitsu training. And I just talked about competition. And I really talked about like most of the time when I was losing a lot in competition, it was because my training method wasn't good. And then we would fix the training method and get some good results. And then the training method would tweak or a situation would happen. And we would lose all of our training partners. And it was almost like having to start over. You start a new school. When we first start our school, I have like no training partners at first, and I'm training with only white belts. And it was so hard because I'm competing at purple belt with really, really good guys, and I'm only rolling with guys that try to schoolyard headlock me. And it's like, oof, I'm getting resistance, but it's not very good resistance. It's not realistic resistance. And eventually, instead of trying to fix what those guys were doing at first, when I was like, man, they're schoolyard headlocking me, I tried to get so good going with people that actually didn't know jiu-jitsu that I could be super efficient against somebody that was really, really strong, really, really physical. And it was almost like saying, okay, right this second, I can't work the skill of jiu-jitsu because these guys don't know any jiu-jitsu yet. And we're teaching them, but they just don't know any yet. But they know how to go really hard against me. And so I'll just fill that, all of the lack of knowledge that they have, with intensity, and let these guys go really hard and see if I can be more efficient while staying effective and while still winning rounds. And that shift for me was only because I had been in so many situations where I lost training partners, and it was like, okay, it's back to just me and dad, you know, just me and my 58-year-old dad at the time. You know, that those are the only training partners. Now we're competing at adult purple belt. And it was, I had gotten so used to it that I knew how to adjust my training method. But that also only came because I had so many collaborative training partners coming up. I think the easiest one to reference is Justin Kinchler, and I did an episode a while ago where he offended a lot of people, but he's hilarious, so I just posted it anyway. And we talk about how he and I at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old just traveled the Midwest competing as much as humanly possible and just beating down adults. And that was all we did. And we, you know, most of our blue belt was spent competing. Since we got to compete, and we were like, you know, we were tough training partners when we would roll live. So, but instead of like caring about that, it was very much like, since we were taking out that aggression on other people, we just understood like, hey, we've got to get each other better. And that was what we did. Even as, you know, 16, 17 year old kids that were idiots, you know, that really didn't have any other skills or weren't really doing anything else right in their life. With jiu-jitsu, we really did have this focus of like, hey, we like it when we go into a gym, that Kyle takes us into a gym and we can beat all their guys, you know? And it's like we're 16 and 17 and it's this crazy feeling, right? And we want to do that more. Let's get better. And we just work together to get better. And then any time that we did struggle, then we had good and legitimate questions to ask Kyle. We had relevant things to pick his brain about and for him to help us out with, and then him to tweak our training method or our ideology or whatever. But then what was really cool is I remember at that time, Kyle was using Justin and I as training partners getting ready for UFC fights. And again, we were 16 and 17 years old. It's just we knew how to get good at jiu-jitsu. So if he wanted to spar something, he would be like, hey, guys, work this. I need work on this for this fight coming up. And again, that all came from dropping the mentality of I need to win against my training partner, which I always talk bad about like the imaginary Brads in your life, right? I get wanting to win against your training partner. I think that that's actually a fun and important part of jiu-jitsu. Me and one of my students were talking about a specific story of a guy that used to just crush me, and then one day I got better, and it was just this really cool moment, this really cool feeling. And so that can be really important. I don't think I don't want to bash that and say, oh yeah, never ever never be excited to win in the gym, right? I talked to you guys about having a performance day and the importance of doing that. But with that mentality of having a performance day, that means that the other 6 days are not performance days, meaning my job is only to get better. And yeah, I just think that if your job is to only get better, it's so much easier to do with another person. And then as a coach, if you can create this mentality, for an example, and I think that we'll actually go into our next, we'll kind of slowly enter into our next point. I'll tell you when we're there, but I think this story will probably transition the two. But when I start looking at weight distribution with Henry Akins, first times I learned this from him, I told you guys about it on the podcast right when I learned it the first time, and I would say this would have been probably a little less than a year ago. The first time I ever got to learn from him, did a 2-day seminar with him, and it was just excellent. And he explained weight distribution. I really loved some of the ideas. I kind of came in and started trying them at the gym and got some pretty good results almost immediately. And so some of my students were interested in it. Well, then we got to just get this private lesson from him at, you know, Hidden Jiu-Jitsu headquarters. I can't even tell you where it is because it's hidden. But when that happened, he explained guard passing, which is something that I had currently at that time been traveling the country teaching. Okay, so this wasn't like something, wasn't like I didn't understand how to pass the guard. I think I really, really, really understood how to pass the guard. And when he explained a few things, I realized there were these huge missing pieces, these things that I didn't understand about guard passing and that would make me so much more effective. And when I saw that glaring hole, okay, and this was like, it wasn't like, oh, Josh, I learned chest over chest. I do this 30% of the time, and here's this 70% of the time that I need to fix, and it's easy to fix. It was like, I do this maybe 1% of the time. I understand it or notice it 0% of the time, and this is very relevant to what I need to be doing, what I need to be learning. And when I got that private, a few of my students were there, and then it just kind of spread throughout the gym for 4, 5, 6 months, kind of organically, everyone kind of showing everybody these ideas on weight distribution in guard passing that were really, really unique. And while this is happening, we're all kind of trying to do it together. And finally, I get to a point where I'm like, I can at least start to teach some of this, at least to my guys. But the goal wasn't like, hey, guys, check this out. Now, like, you guys can be as smart as me. The goal of it was like, hey, I don't know how to explain this. I know how to get it to work sometimes. Let's dissect this together. And when we did that, it like, one, it was so much fun. And I'm not exaggerating. We spent the last 5 months at my gym working guard passing. We finally just switched to working guard. But one, it was so hard to decide to actually work guard because of how effective we were getting with the guard passing. It was like, why try to dissect it until we know that we can just smush people, right? But I really do say we, not as a fake humility thing. If this was all my ideas, I would tell you guys. I would be like, yeah, these were all my ideas. I'm a genius. You guys should all sign up for I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show Pro for $20 a month and get the Trinity of guard passing. I would tell you that. But that wasn't the case. It really was, and I'm not even saying it was like 8 of us. It was like 40 people, you know, and some of them were just, you know, a lot of us are just guinea pigs on it, right? We're all just guinea pigs on it. But everybody was explaining it and everyone's trying to figure it out. And then all of a sudden, it finally came together. It was like one Saturday. We're at the gym. We're talking through it. Not like I'm explaining it, like we're trying to get what I can get to work for somebody else. And it's not working. And it's not working. And then all of a sudden, we had a little bit, literally two different words shift in the language, and it made it simple. And it made it to where we can all do it now. And it was so interesting that that happened. But then after a few weeks of that, it was time to move on to playing guard. How do we beat this, right? But when you look at jiu-jitsu that way, it just makes it so much easier to get good. When you look at the trinity of guard passing, a lot of those ideas on guard passing, they are Trinity of Guard Passing, my newest instructional. It's on simplifyingjiujitsu.com. And the idea behind it is understanding the distance of guard passing. And I explained some things with chest over chest, which I've posted for free a few different times. Actually, on the sales page of the video, I have like this first 7 minutes of the instructional is just free. And it's just my explanation of chest over chest. It makes a ton of sense. You literally could get a little bit better by watching that 7 minute video at whatever guard pass you like to do. And people think it ends there. And that's because it could have ended there. That was a cool thing. And I could stretch that out to be an entire seminar. But instead, it was like, how do we make this shorter and easier to understand? How do we make this shorter and easier to understand? And then it was like, well, what else is there? What else is there that matters? And we started to, as a team bringing in different instructors to learn from, we started to get a clearer and clearer picture. And then I'm getting to teach seminars and try, like, I'll get to go in and say, okay, I get 2 hours. Can I teach these guys who have no idea what this is and make them a belt level higher in guard passing in 2 hours? And that would always be my goal. And who knows if I ever actually accomplished it, but I was always trying to feel that out, right? That was always the goal. And so then I would come back and I'd be like, hey, these sentences really mattered. And my guys would be like, oh, that's cool. That makes it simpler for me. And then we would get tighter and tighter. And that's just like, I love the example that Robert Drysdale gave on his episode of the show where he said, people think that there is this jiu-jitsu genius that exists. And he said, and he does not exist. And what he explained was like, jiu-jitsu genius is in a situation happens, and then he goes back and he sits in his chair and he thinks about it and he goes, oh, here is the solution. Here's the system to beat that. And then he explains it and it's genius, right? He's like, that doesn't exist. He's like, you learn by accident. He's like, innovation is done through accident. It's done through trial and error. And I don't know if that's the only way, but that's the only way that I have gotten innovation in my jiu-jitsu, in my gym, in my teaching to work is through attempting it a bunch. And then what made it even easier was getting my whole crew to attempt it a bunch, right? And then we went from like it just being me to it being 100 other people that want to get good at this. And so, that is my rant on main point number one. But like I said, The point number two we would kind of get into, and it is the collective growth and system development. So that's really what we're talking about here is, when we look at getting good at jiu-jitsu, you could always just buy instructionals. And I think that that's if you find the right people, their instructionals hopefully will be equivalent to a couple years of their life on something, because that is like, it's the same idea as when you read somebody's, a book that they wrote and they got published. Usually it's something that they've dedicated 10, 15, 20, 30 years, their entire life to, and then they write a book about it, right? And it's the condensed and simplified version of their entire life. And when you can kind of get all of those condensed and simplified versions stacked on top of each other because you have all kinds of different people experimenting with the same big ideas. I think that that is the best way to learn something that other people don't know, or at least explain it in a way that other people don't know. And for me, if you really look at getting good at jiu-jitsu, I know we look at like the simplest form of getting good at jiu-jitsu, and so this might be over some people's heads, but if you really want to get really good at jiu-jitsu, it is discovering things that people don't know. And that is not to say you have to invent new moves. A lot of times the best things that I learn are moves that I've used for years and I assume that I'm really good at, and somebody just explains them in a way and breaks them down in a way that just changes my whole perspective on it. But it's still a simple move, you know, and it's still something that now I can hit even easier, and I can hit even more efficiently because I understand it deeper. And so I think that like that is, I talked about this idea of getting people to what would be serviceable in jiu-jitsu, and then they have to add their own spin on it, right? That's kind of what I mean. That's why I like this idea of getting people to almost blue belt, and then then I think conceptual teaching really seems to work and make sense. It's just about finding the right concepts, about finding the things that actually work and make sense for them. And so right here, we'll go ahead and go to a commercial break. I have a super unique commercial. If you usually skip commercials, I get it. I usually skip commercials too. I usually have no method to the madness of the commercial. This one really is something you want to hear about, and the way that it is delivered is a way that we've never done before. And so I think you guys will like it. But yeah, check it out. Hey guys, Josh McKinney here. Just wanted to interrupt the podcast really quick and tell you about the newest collaboration. I guess that's what we do on the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show now. We just love to collaborate with different companies. And this time we are collaborating with Revive Jiu-Jitsu Coffee. And we have, you guys have met the owner, Junior Silva, a couple times. But recently, Junior Silva and I actually had the opportunity to go and try coffee to see what was the future I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show roast was going to be. And this is what is called single origin coffee. A lot of times coffee is brought from a lot of different farms all together. Some of it is ripe, some of it is not, and it's roasted very dark, so you don't notice a difference. And this coffee, I would love to tell you why I love it and why I think you should try it. But I thought what would be unique this time is I was actually going to have my friend Connor, who is the owner of Upshot Coffee, who are the roasters for Revive BJJ Coffee. And he's going to explain this idea of single origin coffee in this very eloquent and beautiful way that I just absolutely couldn't. And so here is Connor.
First open, like, I found myself attracted to like bean to bar chocolate. So like, we want to taste the soil essentially, right? What makes that different? So like, if you're doing a single origin instead of just a grocery store blend, right? Why are you drinking a single origin? It's because there's something very specific and kind of one time about that, yeah. Right? To where if I get this bag of coffee and there's 30 bags of this or even 200 bags of this from that growing season, and I prepare that in my shop, and let's say I have 100 pounds of that, like, that is an experience that you'll never repeat. Because even if I buy that coffee from the farmer and he changes nothing, climate's going to be different next year, right? Even little moderations of the amount of rain, the temperature, all of that stuff. So if I'm serving you a single origin, it's basically like a look into a one-time experience versus something that has two or three different coffees in it that's been blended to reach a specific taste profile that's very consistent, right? It's not a window into a one-time thing. But I think the beauty of coffee or chocolate or wine or anything is like when that's a one-time experience and it's exceptional.
And I'm back. And honestly, if it took me so long to choose what part of that conversation that I wanted to even feature for this commercial, because Connor is such an insightful guy. But be sure to be on the lookout for a new dog vlog on my YouTube channel that will have Connor on it, and we'll be tasting coffee, like I said, with Junior. And he'll just be giving us some insight on coffee and other things that's really cool. And so with that being said, be sure to check out the YouTube channel. Be sure to check out Revive Coffee, the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show lot, the specific I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show lot. We did a really small batch of this, and so this is going to sell out really, really quickly. And then hopefully, if it sells out quick enough, we will do another larger batch of this. But that is all I have for you. There's a link in the description for this if you want to check it out. Get it while supplies last. And yeah, let's go ahead and get back to the episode. And we're back. And so now we're going to look at, like, how do we implement this into a gym culture? Because we've looked at this as an individual just doing training method, and then we looked at this kind of like how a group of people can collaborate to learn something deeper. But how do you make this part of your culture at your gym? This is an ideology of training that is super, super unique. And if you go to my gym, this is how we train. It is very, very collaborative. Yes, I am the head coach. Yes, I teach a lot of jiu-jitsu that I know and that I understand. But like I said, a lot of it has come from the group. It's come from the room, if you will. And then now at my gym, so much of what makes my gym good is that it is just full of really good guys. And they're really good at jiu-jitsu. They're so willing to help the next guy. They're so willing to say, oh yeah, I'm gonna help teach you jiu-jitsu too, and you struggle with this, I can help you with this, or we struggle with this, we can help each other. And that mentality, it's just present kind of everywhere at our gym. There's a lot of mentalities that are terrible that are present at our gym. I don't want to lie to you and tell you that the original thing that ChatGPT suggested on this as my third point, the original wording was building a positive gym culture. And then I had to change main point number three to building a productive gym culture. Because I'm not saying it's the most positive place on earth, you know? You guys that train jiu-jitsu in the Midwest know what I'm talking about. If you train hard jiu-jitsu, it's not nice on your body. People aren't nice to you, but they're all your best friends. It doesn't make sense. But maybe some other places are like that, but that's just how it is where we are. The wrestler mentality, I think, really is present in most Midwest jiu-jitsu still. And maybe even more now, because a lot of guys do transition over to jiu-jitsu and do jiu-jitsu now, and it's not as unique of a thing. But that being said, when I think about like this idea of implementing this in my culture, and obviously most people that are listening to this episode don't have control of the gym's training, right? You can add some collaborative training here and there, and you can focus with a friend on getting better at something specific. But to say that you're not allowed to do that, like, you know, to say that like that's where it has to end if you're a coach, right? This is kind of, can we apply this as a coach to the entire gym? And not only that, when this happens, when people find ways to get good and they're not secretive about it, but they're not in your face about it, and they just use it to get better at jiu-jitsu, other people, and a lot of times, including coaches, will take notice. And if it's a good crew and it's a good group of people, a lot of people will go, well, I want to do that too. That makes sense. And people can work together to get better then, right? But let's just say you do have control. Let's just play the hypothetical rich life game where you own your own jiu-jitsu school, even though we both know that you shouldn't have control of other people's jiu-jitsu yet, just yet, right? But let's just say you could. And this is something that I've done forever, right? I have a very strong wrestler presence in my gym because we're in the Midwest, and because I've always been super accepting of wrestlers, meaning like I've never been like, hey, dude, you wrestled your whole life. You need to spend the first 4 years of your jiu-jitsu playing guard. It's like, that just sounds confusing. How about we take what you're already great at grappling-wise, and then we add jiu-jitsu to that, right? Instead of trying to make you learn something brand new. How about we just wrestle up on single legs for guard for right now? But besides that, like, you know, let's focus on top. And that's always been how I've been with wrestlers. And so at this point, I have like Eric, who I've told you guys about, has been on the show a million times. He's always kind of been my main wrestling coach and is one of my black belts, right? Meaning I was teaching him jiu-jitsu as he was teaching me wrestling, which is weird, but the only way that it worked was that it was still pretty collaborative, right? Because it's grappling. So there's a lot of times that the wrestling that he was doing was getting beat by little jiu-jitsu things that I could help him with. Or the jiu-jitsu that I was doing wasn't working against good wrestlers, and he could teach me wrestling things that would allow me to get into new fights with these people. And that was like always so helpful. And so that, again, was always just the mentality. And so now I have Sal, one of my brown belts. He's been training with me for a long time, but is just in during certain classes that I teach now. And a lot of times it's helping me teach because we're looking at wrestle-ups and we're looking at upper body clinches and we're looking at all these things. And so it isn't uncommon for like you to come in to learn from me, and you're learning from like me teaching the first 3 minutes of class and then one of my, you know, really good close guard guys teaching you this omoplata from close guard that only he does and only he has specific details of. And then we end it there, and then we go into the next move, which is like, oh, this guy's triangle is really good, right? Or more, even more common, this guy, I wrestled up on the single leg, and then Coach Eric's going to teach us how to finish it. Go, Eric. And, you know, that's really common at my gym, and it's funny because people are like, you should plan better. But a lot of times it is just looking at the room and going, oh, we have assets in this room that are more beneficial than me explaining the single leg. These guys have done, let's say, 20,000 more single legs than I have. I think that they're going to have some tips that maybe I don't. And that's always what makes me better at wrestling, is being able to learn from those guys. And so, yeah, I just think that that has a huge part of our gym mentality, but that mentality of you could always be learning from somebody who isn't as good at you jiu-jitsu wise, maybe somebody you can beat on the mat, but they have specifics that they're better than you at. You should try to steal those ideas. Even if your only goal is to beat that guy up, you should still try to steal those ideas because it's what he's better than you at. And then all of a sudden he doesn't have something that he's better than you at, right? And if you did that to everybody, you would just be insanely good. And so stealing people's knowledge and just saying, hey, take all that knowledge and give it to me in a few sentences, and then I'll ask you questions and we'll conversate and they'll get better at teaching, right? There's so many expressions of teamwork in jiu-jitsu learning, but it's so important that we just get that culture, right? And that we just have that mentality. And you don't have control of how other people feel and how other people look at jiu-jitsu, but you do have control for yourself. And so a lot of people, like especially people that listen to the show, a lot of the ideas we talk about are new school. And so where you train at, maybe they don't implement anything we talk about, and you get that like, man, I could be getting so much better. I don't like this. And you hate the school that you're at. But a lot of times it's like, as long as it's not looked upon as you being this negative person, you don't have to go in and be showing. You don't have to go in and say, oh, well, I know more because I listened to this podcast. But it's you do yourself and your team a service if you experiment with ideas that you find interesting. Because if you experiment with those and then they're helpful to you, they may be helpful to at least one guy at your gym. And that helps the gym. That helps the team. And so when I see how tough our gym is and how good the room always is, it's because of that mentality of we gotta all get good. And then the other mentality I think that was always very present, and this is just probably a Granite City thing, is where we're not good, that's okay. We'll just replace it with physicality and toughness. And that was always kind of the mentality. But then what eventually started to happen is we stopped having to replace so much with physicality and toughness because we were all learning together. And yeah, if I just looked at like my just the team now versus the team when we first started, when it was just white belts and everyone was brand new, those white belts, if they got to go to this group now, they would have gotten so much better, so much faster, right? Even if I didn't change, like even if I was the same brown belt coach, just having that room would have made those guys great, way faster than it took them, you know? And so that, and then the other thought is like, sometimes that like going and competing enough and losing as a team can motivate teamwork like nothing else, right? If you're all losing and you all have something to fix, even if it's different things to fix, man, that makes such a difference. I look at when we would go during COVID and do tournaments, we had a group that competed, and I would say all together was probably 15 people that were competing, maybe a little more, maybe 15 to 20 from my school specifically that were traveling to compete in IBJJFs during that time, sometime or another. But of the, let's say 20, it was like 18 of us, including me, struggled with like performance anxiety. And just not performing on command. And so I have an episode that was kind of my pin on performing called Champions Stay Present. And we're in actually going to do, this Monday, we're going to do a BJJ Mental Models episode where where Steve Kwan interviews me about Champions Stay Present. And we don't dig super deep into some of the details, but I really think the episode's probably going to turn out well. And even if it doesn't, if you I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show listeners could just, you know, give it a share, like it, listen to it, I would appreciate it. It would warm my heart. Next Monday, BJJ Mental Models. But anyway, that idea of Champions Stay Present, it was built on a lot of Jiu-Jitsu losses, not just for me, but from all of my students that were competing at that time. We were working together so much, and I had some knowledge of it, but I still wasn't performing well on command, and it was noticeable. Like, even my students would be like, yeah, you don't perform. Like, the guy in the gym doesn't seem like the guy that's competing, and these were guys that were blue belts that could notice this, you know? And, but again, these blue belts had to take some L's with me, and we all got so much better at performing. We still aren't good at jiu-jitsu. The jiu-jitsu's still not there, but at least we can perform like we do in the gym. And that really did, all those ideas really did come from, those losses, I think, and the willingness to lose, and then every time tweak it and say, well, maybe we should try to warm up then, or maybe we should try to do this, or maybe it's this part of it. But towards the end of those, you know, two-ish years, I still feel better as a competitor than I ever have at just going out and being myself and competing, you know? And there are still, of course, always things that you could be better at, you could tweak, but I just have not been, I've not left a lot of tournaments going, I usually just perform better than that, or I thought I'm better at jiu-jitsu than that. If I lost, I would just be like, man, that guy was good, you know? He really beat the best Josh that he could have beaten, you know, today. I really was as good as I could have been, I think. And, and that's a sucky feeling, but that is a good feeling when you realize, like, hey, at least I'm taking what I'm doing in my training and applying it to jiu-jitsu. And so, yeah, that all really did come from losing together and collaborating on ideas and you just, for me, I see so many other things that we built because of that, and so much other momentum that was built because of the willingness to lose as a team. And I couldn't tell you, you know, I've had a lot of tournaments that we've left and a bunch of us have won and it felt great. And a lot of great stories like that. But I have significantly more tournaments that the opposite happened and none of us won. And like the only medal we're coming home with was a guy who only had one guy in his division and got second, you know? And that's tough. It's tough when you go through those, but if you have the right mentality, you can fix it. If you have the right mentality as a group, as a team, you can fix it. And that is why they say teamwork makes the dream work. And I think that's where we're going to end today's episode on the individual responsibility of teamwork. And that is the episode. Thank you guys for checking this one out. And also, big thank you to everyone who checked out the Mission 111 Not So Late Show that I was the host of last week. If you guys follow the YouTube channel, you're going to see tomorrow a little clip of it. And it is with three black belts and somebody gets pied. And that's all I will tell you about it. But you should definitely be subscribed to the YouTube channel, Josh McKinney. If you are not, I thought it was Josh McKinney BJJ. That's what I used to always tell you guys. But when I looked it up the other day, it's actually just Josh McKinney. It's weird. I was the first one. I got on there. First Josh McKinney YouTuber. Shout out. Jesus, thank you. But let's, oh my goodness. This was a tough episode for me, to be honest, simply because of that telethon, because of the Not So Late Show. It was exhausting to do, and I also have a bit of an ulcer from eating all the hot salsa that I had to eat in the Hot Ones interview with my mom. But that all being said, it was for a great cause, and if you guys ever want to check out Mission 111, you can go to mission111.org and hear about the only thing that I am not selfish with my time about. I'm still probably selfish with my time about it, but the only thing that I'm willing to donate my time to. And yeah, besides that, if you guys are not part of the Geek Gazette, you are absolutely missing out. Always trying to give you different perspective and different ideas. And then I wanted to make sure to finish this episode off with a listener mail. This is not something I normally do, but I just really liked this in the listener mail. And this is from somebody who is a blue belt. I will not say his name, but he is a subscriber to the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show Pro. And he sent me an Instagram message the other night, and it said, "Dude, the Trinity helped me pass a high-level guy's guard last night. Don't want to say the belt color out of respect, but I did the chin over trap method. Like I told you, chest over chest is dead. Nobody even knows what that is. Chin over trap's where it's at. And boom, worked like a charm. He was surprised. I was happy. Thanks for that instructional." And so remember, the only way to get the Trinity of Guard passing is by going to simplifyingjiujitsu.com and signing up for the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Pro. And that is, again, where you will get four other free seminars. Not free, I mean included seminars. You're paying for this. It's not free. That wouldn't make sense. But four other seminars and four other instructionals, and then a new one on the way in April. And so in May. It's April right now. Yeah, in May. Whew. Like I said, I'm exhausted. This has been a long week. And thank you to everybody who checked out and donated to the telethon, mission111.org. Check them out. All that other stuff. I'm dead, guys. That's all I got for you. Hope you guys have a great week. And I'll talk to you, hopefully, with a little more energy and a little more revived BJJ coffee in me next week. Have a great day, guys.